This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey and looking at bad moral values or bad practices, we can see the state of corruption, or how much corruption there is on the earth, what has led the corrupt actions to face all this corruption that we're facing. And corruption, al-fasad, is a very large word inside the Arabic language when the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. And there's various forms of fasad and corruption that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about inside the Quran, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prophesied on his blessed tongue. But there's one specific corruption we want to focus on today. But before that, we're going to touch upon the general concepts of corruption. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, I saw to Rome, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعد الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر. Corruption has appeared upon the land and on the ocean, or upon the lands and the oceans, by what man has earned or sent forth with his own hands. So here one can take this literally, that the corruption that we see at the moment on the face of the earth, the other forms of corruption that we find, inner forms of corruption, of belief, etc., that we find, is all apparent on the face of this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows this corruption to take place for wisdom that belongs with Him. And no one can question or ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala why He does something or why He doesn't do something. But Allah here mentions the secrecy or the element of why this corruption has been allowed to place or to be placed upon this earth. بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, because what man has sent forth with his own hands. Our own actions on the face of this earth have led to this corruption, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows this corruption to take place. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite mercy and justice, or kindness and rahmah towards this world, still hints towards us that even this corruption, there's something that's going to benefit us. That you taste the fruits of your own actions, or the evil actions that you carry out, and this may begin to awaken you, begin to make you to reflect and to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, that you may then return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though He, if we can use such words linguistically, unleashes certain hardships or certain detrimental effects upon this world, inside it is a hidden message for this world, and more specifically for Muslims to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find that these ayat that we find inside Surah Rum is unique, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prior to this mentioned 6 times continuously, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, from amongst His signs. And there's no other cluster of verses inside the Qur'an where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously mentions His ayat, His signs towards the creation, for the creation to begin to reflect. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابِ, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by mentioning He created you from the dust, from the clay. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, from amongst His signs that He created you from your own self, spouses, that you may live with her. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, from amongst His signs, the creation of the heavens and earth, until the other 3 verses that we find as well, all one after another, running in conundrum one after another, speaking about the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the human being doesn't seem to reflect and see these signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we find inside the end of Surah At-Tawbah, once again, the concept of returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَوَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّهُمْ يُفْتَنُونَ فِي كُلِّ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنِ ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ وَلَا هُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Don't they see, the people see, that we test them maybe once or twice in a year? So possibly they may begin to ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ, they don't begin to repent. وَلَا هُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ, they don't seem to pay heed, to reflect regarding this, or this doesn't affect them. So all these calamities, maybe once or twice in a year, whether it be a musibah that one faces oneself, a loss of their own life, or their loved ones, their family, or their wealth, their property, or whether it be a global pandemic that we find at the moment, all of this hardship that we find is there for the person to reflect, to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another place in the Quran, Allah mentions, أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَهُ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. أَوَلَا أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ Why don't people repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَهُ And seek His forgiveness. Thus we find that this concept of tawbah wal-istighfar, continuously the believer, a Muslim should be always making tawbah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Making istighfar, repenting back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a strange thing about these ayat that we find inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, and Surah Al-Ma'idah is a surah in itself which is unique, which is speaking of nothing less but Ahlul Kitab, their treachery, their deception, their concealing of verses, they're speaking against Muslims. And likewise, we find this surah is full of hukum, rules and regulations that we find is a large portion of Surah Al-Ma'idah. And as maybe not to sound too political, but we find corruption is touched inside here as well, that maybe we as Muslims, as people who govern and rule and just average Muslims begin to need to reflect over this surah and to see that the corruption that we're living in, the corruption that we're facing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ In the 44th chapter of Quran. Then he mentioned, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ Straight after this. Then in verse 47, he mentions, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ First, Allah mentioned, they are disbelieving individuals. They are oppressive individuals. They are wicked, disobedient individuals. If we look at the context of these ayat, Imam Shanqiti in his Sahib Adwa al-Bayan, he mentions about the context of this ayat, that the first verse, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ is speaking about Muslims. That the context of this ayat is about Muslims who don't govern and rule via the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be classified as disbelieving individuals. The second ayah, فَأُولَٰئِكُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ he mentions the context of this ayat is speaking about al-Yahud, is speaking about the Jews. And then the final verse inside, verse number 47, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ The context, the siyaq of these ayat is speaking about al-Nasara, speaking about the Christians. Now we don't want to get so bogged down into, as many people begin to talk about kufr, duna kufr, one concept of kufr, whether it's major or minor, whatever it may be, we all accept this. But the key element here, what we fail as Muslims, fail to understand, which is being pushed away from us, that governance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it's not applied, leads to fasad, leads to corruption on the face of the earth. That there's no control on the face of this earth. People are away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a core element we need to believe in, that we need to build upon inside our lives. That the hukum, the ruling and governance belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't go into an extremity that people think that maybe this is leading people to rebel or speak ill of people around us. But it's visible that we are corrupt. Muslims are corrupt. The authorities around us, they are corrupt. That's the least that we can say. And it's visible. And that corruption, since whether we accept that 100 odd years ago, the collapse of the Islamic Caliphate, even though it collapsed before that, but technically it collapsed maybe some 100 years ago. Till now, 100 years on. 100 years on now, today, the last plague that took place inside on the world. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a secrecy that lies that every 100 years that He begins to awaken the world, remind the world that the level of corruption has gone beyond a level which is not comprehensible anymore of corruption that we're carrying out on the face of this earth. And likewise, inside this surah, the general theme can be taken not to follow suit practices of the people around us, or the people of the corrupt ways that they have. The surah begins by mentioning, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ Encourage one another towards piety and goodness. Don't come towards any evil actions. Ithm, sins, wal-udwan, transgression. Don't cluster, don't come together. Don't unite upon evil actions and sins and corruption on the face of this earth. Wattakullah. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And maybe some of us, that's all the ayah that we may catch. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the ayah by mentioning, Inna Allaha shadidul iqab. This is something many of us Muslims, we always rightfully maybe do go towards the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that's why ulama mentioned that the mercy is balanced with at times the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wrath of Allah, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the chastisement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even this verse is that many people will use this verse, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى encourage people towards piety and goodness and stay away from evil, but they fail to see the end of the verse. That when evil actions become dominant, prominent on the face of the earth. Allah warns us, Inna Allah shadidul iqab. Allah is severe in punishment. Punishment isn't always going to be inside al-akhirah. There's going to be raddul fi'l. There's going to be a response of our actions on this dunya. Qabla al-akhirah. And that's why really, in all honesty, a person should face the punishment in this world rather than face anything inside the akhirah. Because the punishment inside the akhirah is going to be ashad. It's going to be even more severe and more eternal for the individual who faces the punishment inside al-akhirah. Likewise, you find if we turn back to another surah, the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. Many of us are familiar with this surah, but the intricate details or to pick up the understanding of surah, many of us fail to understand. We may just have a tertiary reading, read through this surah. We fail to see who the believers are. We fail to see who the corrupt individuals are. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some 12 odd verses right in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah speaking about corruption, speaking about al-munafiqoon. That's Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah wrote a whole book speaking about sifatul munafiqeen. But many of us Muslims, when we read Surah Al-Baqarah, this doesn't become our main theme. We just read through it. First 3-4 ayats speak about the believers. 1 or 2 ayats speak about the disbelievers. And 12 ayats speak about the munafiqoon. For what purpose, what intent is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beginning His book? Beginning the longest surah inside the Quran, 286 verses. Beginning it by speaking about the munafiqoon. Because why? Al-ibra bi'umum al-lafzi la bi-khusus al-sabab. The lesson is to be taken from the generality of the words and not from the specifics of revelation. We're going to follow suit. We're going to do exactly what the people done before us. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ. When it said to the people, don't make corruption on the earth, they said, we're not making corruption. We are people, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ. We're rectifying the affairs. Read the tafsir of corruption. Imam Tabari, Imam Qurtubi, Imam Ibn Kathir, they mentioned about the corruption that these people, whether it be disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-ma'asi. This is all corruption on the land. Ultimate level of corruption is rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But underneath that comes, as ulama tafaseed mentioned, al-dhanub, wal-ma'asi, disobedience, is also corruption. An encouragement of corruption in the face of the earth, and then trying to justify we are people who are rectifying this earth. Ala innahum humul mufsiduna walakin la yash'urun. Allah responds by saying, indeed, these people, they are mufsidun, they're corrupt individuals. Corrupt inside their hearts, corrupt externally, become visible. But they cannot even perceive their corruption. Then they begin to make what? They begin to make such statements. Should we believe as sufaha, as the foolish individuals? Ulama of Lugha, they mentioned as-sufaha, generally the Quran is speaking about children who don't have the mind and the intellect to distinguish their wealth. But this is how the munafiqun speak about believing individuals. They're childish, they're foolish. They have this belief inside al-akhirah, the day of judgment. They have this belief inside Islam, that Islam is a way of life. This isn't non-Muslims. This is even amongst our own Muslims who believe that Islam is some abstract way of life. It's not a life to be followed in the modern world. Islam doesn't fit in the modern world. Islam shouldn't be used, shouldn't be unified, shouldn't be codified, shouldn't be implemented. It's an abstract identity that existed in the 6th century amongst the Bedouin Arabs at that time. Now in the modern world, the Quran is no longer applicable. So should we believe as these foolish individuals that they believed? But once again, Allah rebukes them. They are the foolish individuals who make such statements. Likewise, Allah mentioned, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. Don't make corruption in the land after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rectified the land, has placed the land in a state of peace and contentment that we find. And this, if we go back to the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, that we find is once again speaking about fasad after this, whereby the main theme of fasad begins to take place. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. When Allah said to the angels, I'm going to place upon the earth a viceroy, a representative. Here a great discussion begins to take place amongst ulama tafsir. What is the meaning of khalifa? Ibn Kathir goes to the view that it's khala'if. Generations after generations, people who come afterwards. It's not Adam alayhi salam. It's going to be his progeny. Generation after generation are going to come, who are going to inherit the land. Because Adam alayhi salam doesn't know the corruption. You can't attribute corruption to him at that moment in time. But the other half, there's no harm in attributing it to Adam alayhi salam, because the first killing that took place was between the sons of Adam alayhi salam that took place. Ayhal, returning back to the ayat, the angels then made this question, قَالُوا وَتَجْعَلُوا فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. The angels pose this question, are you going to place upon the earth مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا, who's going to spread corruption and going to spill blood? Once again, a long discussion begins to take place, that how do the angels know this? How do the angels perceive this, that they're human being? And this is true. If you look at the human being in general, what is the characteristic of the human being? He places corruption on the land and he spills blood. The mass killings that we find on the face of this earth is carried out by human beings. So the angels, either one view is that they saw that the essence of the human being clay, going to be hard in nature, saw that this individual, this creation, is going to spill blood, is going to carry out this facade. Another view that ulama tafsir mentioned is that they saw what the jinn were doing. That prior to the human beings, there's a strong view that the jinn, they inhabited this earth. And they saw how they were behaving upon the face of this earth. So the angel said, are they going to, human beings going to do likewise? And a third view that possibly some form of farasa, insight, that they could see that the future was going to take place. Because we're always praising Allah. Why do you need to make another creation? We're always worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do you need something else? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, I know what you don't know. And Allah taught Adam the names of everything. Everything on this earth. Plants, animals. حَتَّى بَعْدَ عُلَمَا تَفَسِيدَ, they mentioned even utensils, ornaments, even things to do with washing, bathing, cleansing, etc. Allah taught all the names of everything to Adam alayhi salam, gave him that superior rank. Superior rank was given to him. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, we gave nobility rank to Bani Adam, children of Adam, gave them this rank, this dignity, take him over the land, the oceans, give him a marked preference over the whole of creation. That is the human being. So the angels were taken aback. That's when the angels, when they come to, in the morning and the evening, and they return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows his creation. He knows what is taking place. But he asked the angels, how did you find my servants? Because the angels, they rotate in their shift at the time of Fajr and Asr. So the angels said, we found your servants in a state of prayer, in a state of dhikr, in a state of remembrance. So it looks like to the angels as if the human being is always in a state of ibadah as well, always worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how the angels see us. وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ, but most of our servants are grateful. Most are ungrateful, are not grateful. We're not in a state of ibadah at that time. We're not in a state of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the early morning or in the late afternoon. As for the main hadith that we find, the corruption, we find لعن الله الراشي والمرتشي في الحكم in a hadith in Muslim Imam Ahmad. Allah has cursed the individual who gives the bribes and the one who takes the bribes regarding rules and regulations via judgment. And as we mentioned many times, the person should study whenever inside the Quran or hadith it mentions لعن الله. Allah has cursed that individual. And so Imam al-Dhahabi in his works Al-Kaba'ir collects some 80 or 90 major sins. And inside it you find that this key element is mentioned whereby the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned there. Once again, many of us Muslims take it trivial. Many things, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon that individual, upon that society. But we think we're Sha'abullah Mukhtar. We think we're the chosen children of God, as they say. That we're protected, we're free from sin, we're free from blemish, we're free from blame. We're never going to be punished, we're never going to be tortured, we're never going to be harmed. There's going to be no calamities. This is how some Muslims, they think. That by default, us being Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish us. We will punish the kuffar, we'll punish the disbelieving individual, we won't be punished. No hardships will come upon us. As we began with, the punishment come for any individual who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, find la'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-rashi wal-murtashi. Hadith in Bukhari and likewise the son of Abi Dawood. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam, he cursed the individual who gives bribes and the one who takes bribes. You know, many of us, we become so bogged down with rhetoric and academia and technical studies of Islam that we live in some abstract world of Islam. And I don't want to sound derogatory in any manner, but this is what some Muslims we have become. We don't see the common people. The common people, there's a path of corruption. The common people don't understand academia. They don't understand technicalities. If you just teach a believer about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will accept it. They don't want intricate details about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can't absorb them. They can't understand them. These are technicalities for ulama to begin to dissect and begin to explain. An average individual just needs to know belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Allah is watching over you wherever you happen to be. That's all that an average Muslim needs to understand. They don't need to understand intricate details about these verses. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. It's not for an average individual to understand intricate details of codified orthodox beliefs of Islam. It's good if they learn them. But as some of us begin to focus upon this throughout our life, you find that the average masses, what begins to take place? There's a separation within people who believe in certain things and what people practice on the face of this earth. That the average individual that you find is neglected. The average individual is missed. And thus we find that certain things that exist in our Muslim ummah, that maybe it may sound shameful to mention this, but bribes and kickbacks are common in the Muslim world. Bribery is a common factor inside the Muslim world. There are various forms of bribes that may sound very similar to many of us that we see amongst our Muslims inside our society. It's common practice. One cannot get a good service and a person gives a bribe. Person won't be treated well until that it says bakshish or some money or some is given in exchange for the person to be treated appropriately. A contractor who wants a government tender, wants a government contract to be given to them, will give bribes to high-ranking officials. And that's the scandals. It may sound strange for us, scandals whereby non-Muslims have been involved in Muslim countries and Muslim entities have been exposed, whereby kickbacks and money have been given, that contracts are given to non-Muslim contracts or non-Muslim countries or other Muslim identities given to them, that they bribe people, high-ranking official people, to those contracts are given to these individuals. Even mundane things. A vehicle inspection officer will pass a vehicle knowing it's corrupt. There's deficiencies. It could lead to an accident. It could lead to a killing. But some money is given and he takes the money and he passes the vehicle. A judge is visited by a certain party and told to rule in a favor. When he gives that ruling in that favor, an expensive gift is sent to that individual. The individual accepts it. This is all forms of usury or bribery, sorry, that we find. A high-ranking government official, lower clerics discover that he's a corrupt individual. So he bribes them. He puts them in positions, not to speak about the money that he was taking, and makes them content and makes them happy. Likewise, you find a retired officer who may want to claim his own pension, his own right. When he goes to the office to claim his money, his file is lost. His money is lost. So he offers a bribe till eventually he can get his own right is given to this individual. Coming down further, school results. It may sound astounding to us living in the Western world, but many teachers are bribed. Principals are bribed to pass their children in exams. Because sorry to sound so harsh, but many of them are dumb individuals. But they're bribed. Money is paid that the results of my child are excelled, are put forward. If not, you will be sacked. You lose your position. You lose your job. This is a reality that takes place inside our community that we find. And likewise, incumbent presidents or people in authority, when they want to be re-elected, they'll bribe people. They'll bribe the poor people. They'll pay money. It's all visible inside our society. One shouldn't pretend, oh, these things don't exist. A large portion of our world is corrupt in this manner, that we will bribe people. Or concept of nepotism, of one son to another son, it continues inside our lineage. It's all existing in front of us that we begin to turn a blind eye. That's what people say, there's a difference between a bribe and a present. And as we find in the hadith, it mentions that the difference between a bribe and a present, you would take the present. The gift will be, you'll take it even if you were not inside that position. That's when one companion was sent by the Prophet ﷺ to collect a zakah. And he came back with some extra money. And he gave some to the Prophet ﷺ, he took some himself. The Prophet ﷺ, he rebuked him, hadith in Bukhari. He said that you've taken this money Would you have taken this money if you had been sitting home with your parents? Meaning if you was not inside this position, you would have not received this extra money that you're trying to give to me and you're trying to take for yourself. This is nothing less but a bribe. As for the effects of bribery that we find inside a society, that poor people begin to lose their rights, are not able to compete, to offer the same money that rich people, other people may offer to get their rights given to them. Honest and truthful people begin to suffer, lose their rights, and they begin to suffer. People only begin to work if money is given to them, bribes are given to them, they begin to carry out their duties of work. And people who receive bribes, they become accustomed to a certain lifestyle, a certain wealth that they need for their home, for their family, for their luxuries, for their pleasures. So that's why they continue to persist inside taking of these bribes to live that luxurious lifestyle with this extra money that they perceive that they're gaining inside their life. And likewise, we find that money is swindled out of the country. That the corrupt money that the people that they're taking is swindled, taken out of the country, and doesn't benefit the economy of that country. And likewise, cost of everything begins to go up. And let us conclude with Surah Al-Ma'idah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks once again about corruption, about fasad upon the earth. Whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of that reason, wrote down upon Bani Israel, أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا, that an individual who kills an innocent individual or seeks corruption upon the land is as if that individual has killed the whole of humanity. Whoever saves one individual is as if they've saved the whole of humanity. Then after that, after this verse continues, another verse, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, even the context may sound very harsh, but it should awaken us. That is why some ulama have extracted from this verse that the punishment of a person who is corrupt or who is spreading corruption on the land, that this is an extraction from this verse, that this is the punishment, the chastisement that be given to that individual. إِنَّمَا جَزَاءُ الَّذِينَ يُحَارِبُونَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ, those individuals who fight Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then His messenger, وَيَسْعَوْنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَسَادًا, and then they spread fasad, corruption on the land. What is the punishment of such individuals for carrying out fasad upon the earth? أَوْ يُنْفَوْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, are they to be expelled from the land? ذَلِكَ لَهُمْ خِزْيٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ, that is for them a disgrace on this world. Imagine that disgrace. This is all خِزْيٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا, disgrace for an individual inside this dunya. Then Allah mentions وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ, for them inside the hereafter will be a severe punishment, magnified punishment, torture for those individuals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to return back to His deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all this, all of us, an awakening amongst ourselves, that the calamities and the hardships that we see that the world is facing, or the world has been facing, and many of our Muslim brothers have been facing, many of us, we feel that in this lockdown, this hardship, that sometimes we feel is hardship. But in comparison to what Muslims out there who are facing, it's possibly 1%. What these people have been facing for the last 50, 60 years of their life, that have been facing, expelled from their lands, tortured, oppressed, that we find. Ardu Sham at the moment is a case that many of us may think that it's hardship staying at home. Look at these individuals, the hardship that they're facing, the conditions that they're living in. Palestine, Kashmir, the lands are endless, that how these people live for the last 50, 60 years, they've been living in lockdown, in shutdown, not being exposed to the world or giving access to the world, or access to basic mundane things that they need. So we should make this as a point inside our lives to reflect upon this inside our lives, that we are still living in a ni'mah. We're still living in a blessing. We're still living in a blessing compared to what the mass of the people are facing. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this hardship from all of us, from this Muslim world, make it a point of returning for non-Muslims as well, Muslims as well, to return back and repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.